we're just recognizing this call of greater days ahead. And we always want to remember what Jesus says is great, and in fact, what Jesus says is greater. And there's a great day coming when we come home, the day when God welcomes us home, and Jesus lives this life in that perspective of us coming home. And we want to look at Luke 15, mostly known as the story of the prodigal son, but it's really a story about two sons. And if you read the context, it's actually more about the second son. And we're going to look at that today. So I just want you to get ready. Luke 15, we're going to read the word together. You'll notice that some of the words are bolded and in yellow, the kind of gold. That's your cue to read aloud with us. So we read this story together as you follow along. So here we go. Luke 15, going to start with the context of verse 1 and 3. One day when many hated tax collectors, sinners, and other outcasts came to listen to Jesus, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law started grumbling. Here you go. This man welcomes outcasts and even eats with them. So Jesus told them several stories in response. We're moving to the last one. Jesus went on to say, there was once a man who had two sons. And the younger one said to him, Father, I don't want to be with you anymore. Give me my share of the property now. So the father divided his property between his two sons. And after a few days, the younger son sold his part of the property and left home with the money. The son went to a country far away, here you go, where he wasted his money in reckless living. He spent everything he had. And then a severe famine spread over that country, and he was alone and left without a thing. So he went to work for one of the citizens of that far country who sent him out to his farm to take care of the pigs. The son wished he could fill himself with the bean pods that the pigs ate, but no one cared about him or gave him anything to eat. At last he came to his senses and said, all my father's hired workers have more than they can eat, and here I am about to starve. I will get up and go to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against God and against you. I am no longer fit to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired workers. So he made a choice. I want you to hear that. He made a choice to get up and started back to his father. The son was still a long way from home when his father saw him. The father's heart was filled with compassion, and he ran to his son, threw his arms around his son, and kissed him. Father, the son said, I have sinned against God and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father called his servants. Hurry, he said, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. Then go and get the prize calf and kill it, and let us celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead, but now he is alive. He was lost, but now he has been found. And they began to celebrate. The story doesn't finish there. I want you to listen with a father's heart about the older son now. In the meantime, the elder son, who was out in the field, on his way back, when he came close to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, what's going on? Your brother, I want you to hear this, has come back home, the servant answered. And your father has killed the prize calf because he got him back safe and sound. The older brother was so angry that he would not go into the house. So his father came out and begged him to come in. To where? The home. But he answered his father, look, all these years I have worked for you like a slave, and I have never disobeyed your orders. What have you given me? Well, the older son gets two-thirds of the inheritance, so yeah, two-thirds of everything he owns. And he says this, not even a goat for me to have a feast with my friends. But this son of yours wasted all your property on prostitutes, and when he comes back home, you kill the prize calf for him. My son, the father answered, you are always here with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be happy, because your brother was dead, but now he's alive. He was lost, but now he is back home. You know, you and I, we are sitting in the same place, but we are in different perspectives because you and I are in different positions right now. We're in the same place. We're seeing, in a lot of ways, the same thing. But because of where we are positioned, we are not seeing things the same. Jesus is talking to some religious people and some people who have worked pretty hard to do it right. And they're pretty familiar with the Father's house. And they're pretty used to being around God and obeying Him. But there's something about how they're not seeing what the Father is seeing about some people who are pretty broken and pretty messed up. They're not looking good. They're not smelling good. They don't talk good. They just are who they are. And everybody's the same place, and they're seeing the same people. But Jesus is saying, from my position, I'm seeing them a lot different than you're seeing them. It's real possible to be in the same room and see things differently. Jesus is saying, I'm in the same world with you, and I see what you see, but I want you to remember how I see it. Because in this world, sometimes as we're so in our position of being stressed out and being busy and trying to overcome and what I'm dealing with and what I'm trying to handle, and doesn't everybody know where I'm positioned? Sometimes we forget to see the way the Father sees. Last Sunday, not only did we get to celebrate salvations at Motivation Church, I got to be there. It was so awesome. But you know what? I got to go to Shady Hill after that, the trailer park on Jeff Davis Corridor, very at-risk community where we've been for over 10 years. And we got to set up a tarp, and we were doing some stuff with the kids, and then we were cooking hot dogs and hamburgers. And I'm standing there, and this guy comes by. And I just feel the Father's heart form. And I say, hey, man, you ready to eat? He's like, yeah, man. He's like, what are you guys doing here? I said, what are you talking about? I said, man, we're always here. We've been here a long time. And, man, we just want to remind you that the Father in heaven loves you. And he begins to talk to me. And I thought instead of me telling you what he said, he could tell you himself, because here he is.
Question. Friends and fans, Pastor Sean. Man, I just have this great conversation with this man, Jermaine. And we were just talking about how good it is that the church comes out and spends some time helping. So, Jermaine, you were kind of saying what this meant to you. So you want to tell some of my friends that same thing about just what the church coming out and doing this picnic means to you?
I think it's real great, because people need help out here. People need wisdom out here. And people need to be more close to God and more close to each other. And the way this is happening, we're fool people that care. But that's the point in times these days. People feel like they don't care about it, you know? And that fact is making the whole system of our life, our America, weaker. And we're not weaker, because we did everything in this world, all of us together. United we stand.
That's good. That's a good word right there. We might have Jermaine preach next Sunday. I don't know, man. There might be
he really did. He literally did.
Let's continue to love our neighbors and serve and pray for the great people of Shady Hill. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, bro.
So here's the deal. Jermaine got out of prison 2 days before our picnic. 2 days before. And he's coming home, and he doesn't have a home, so he goes to Shady Hill, which often is a story. There's some people that's their home, but some people that's the only place they can find something. And he's coming home, and he's around, and he's like, what's going on here? And I got to lead Jermaine back home in prayer. Accepted Jesus Christ. And it was so awesome. And let me tell you what, there is no greater joy than that moment. There is no football game that Sunday that was even close to as exciting as that moment, okay? Because that moment was what life is all about coming home. And Jesus is telling this story of the prodigal son to a bunch of people who have forgotten what it's about. And he tells the story, and I want you to hear this. He tells the story of coming home, not just for the younger son who needs to come back, but for the older brother who's forgotten what it's all about. This guy needs to hear the story of the two sons. Because I want you to get this story. At the end of this story, who's in the home and who's not? Jesus doesn't resolve it. At the end of the story, there's an older brother who's been around the father for a really long time and has been trying to obey the father for a really long time, but he has forgotten what it is about to be home. And it's not just the one who says, I need to come back. It's the one who says, I need to remember what it's about. Both. And Jesus leaves us with a cliffhanger because we never know whether the older son decides to go back in his house, in his home. Because that's the struggle that after a while, you and I, we forget what it's like, what being home is about. The younger son needs to know the joy of coming home, but the older son needs to know the joy of being home. And when's the last time that you felt that you walked into church or any place else and someone stopped everything they were doing saying, you're here. Oh, yes, you're here. That's how I feel about Ashley Camper being here after all her military service. Ashley, love you. I'm glad you're here. Yeah, Ashley. It's like, you're here. That's what the kingdom of God is about. And the older brother's forgotten all about it. I want to give you a definition of home, and it's this. The place where you are welcomed and celebrated the most. Hey, moms and dads, have we forgotten what home is about? You know, we're so busy in and out that when's the last time we're like, hey, you're home. You know, my kids are getting a little older, and they're not at home as much anymore. It's like, yes, you're here. Don't go anyplace for a little bit. Please, stay with me. But they've got lives, so it's cool. But it's just, no, that's what home is supposed to be about. It's a place where someone stops and says, oh, man, all right. Yes. Last year, my oldest daughter, Rachel's at college, and we decided to surprise my wife. She was coming home for a weekend. So while she was out, my daughter, Rachel, came home. And as she came home, she went upstairs. So as my wife was doing stuff in the kitchen, the girls came down like, hey, Mom, what's for dinner? So forgive the poor cinematography of this. I was trying to act like I was texting so I could film during this. But here it is.
He made one with a sweatshirt and like Melody helped him tape different things on this, but they found one.
It's not over. At this point, I'm like, what's going on? I don't get this as a man. Why are we crying? This is this happy? No. Well, I love that moment. Thank you, honey, for letting me share that video. I love that moment because it was home. It was like, you're here. Like, what's more important than this moment? The fact that you're here. And listen to the older son. The older son's like, it's about what I do for you. And the father's like, no, it's you're with me. Don't you understand that? And both the younger son and the older son need to remember what being home is all about. And need to remember that it starts with his heart. Because if we'll fix our hearts towards this home will start figuring itself out the right way. So I just want you to look at this story of two sons. Because these two sons, it's about how we all feel. There's not a person who can't relate to this story. And it's about what we all need. And it's about what we all can do. And I just want to share it with you. And I don't want to give you a great thought today. I'm hoping that you are feeling the Father in heaven saying, hey, that's how I feel about you this morning. It starts with the idea that we can all feel alone, lost, and it's too late. I mean, isn't this story of the prodigal, isn't what this prodigal is saying is, I've wasted my opportunity. I've wasted my chance to do this right. Is there anybody in the room who hasn't felt that way? God, I messed it up so bad. And I want you to notice the attitude and the reasoning of the younger son. You know what he says? There's no way my father will love me, but maybe he'll help me. Like, that's what he's working towards. Maybe he'll help me. And he comes back and he has no understanding of how the father feels about him. The father's like, I don't want to help you. I want you to come home. I want you to come and be with me. My love you, you're mine. Why would I feel any other way about you? Sometimes we forget that. You know the saying that nobody's wondering how you're doing, and nobody in the hospital is wondering how somebody else is doing? The whole idea of my issue right now is consuming me so much. And I just want you to remember that the Father in heaven is looking for the younger son, looking for him, trying to find him, ready to run to him. And you and I, sometimes we get in this like, God, don't tell me about the lost, and don't tell me about other people in Egypt. I'm pretty busy right now. Like, I got stuff I'm dealing with. How about me, God? Isn't that what the older son is saying? Like, how about me, Dad? I've been doing a lot of stuff. And the father, who's willing to go out and reach out to the older son just as much as he's willing to go out and reach to the younger son, say, no, come on in. And we need to remember that there's a world around us that the Father in heaven, people are talking heaven and hell, and God's talking home. Come home. Come home. And we forget what breaks the Father's heart. This is a picture of Tyree, 16 years old, living in Petersburg. And my friend Sherry, some of you know, sent me the news that he was murdered Friday night in Petersburg, 16 years old. And what she's saying is, here's my friend who never got to come home. And she said, I got this big, long text. Like, you know, I was trying to tell him that he didn't need to do what he was doing, but he had, his friends around him in the complex they were at, they were all about it. They didn't know a different life. And she's saying, I've tried to talk to him. I tried to talk to him. I think you and I, sometimes in the middle of what we're going through, we forget there's a world around us. That the Father, his heart is filled with compassion. And guys like Tyree need to come home. And we need to be part of that. And we need to say in a new way, God, would you remind us that this is about home. This isn't about some religious debate. This is about your passion for those that are yours to come home. But I want you to know it's not just about the younger sons that we know are pretty far away and need to come home, and it's kind of obvious. It's about the older sons too. Because you know what? We can be around this for so long that we start feeling alone. And kind of like, what good am I doing here? And I wish I would have done it right in the past. And I don't know about you, but there are times you can feel like that when you are right with the Father. And this story is about that person too. Because it's not too hard to feel alone, even when you're around the Father so much. There's some of us, I don't know, single moms sometimes, it's just like, man, I'm trying to do this all by myself. There's sometimes it's, how about leaders? Sometimes leaders are the most loneliest people there are. They're like, I'm doing all this, and I'm caring, and I'm in crowds, and I'm, but like, how about me? Maybe sometimes it's single adults, right? And it's like church talking about parenting and marriage and da-da-da. Like, hello, I'm here too. By the way, Jesus was single. Anybody notice that? You know, I think, you know, and we can feel that way. We're kind of a broken, messed up family trying to figure out. But today is the day where God says, don't you ever forget that my greatest joy is that you're here. And don't you feel useless. Don't you wonder, what good is it that I'm here? Because I'm telling you what, everything about home is that you're here. Because it's not just a guy about guys like Tyree, that we've really got to, again, keep praying for Petersburg. And like, God, what are you doing? How can we be part? But it's guys like this. This is Doug Wheeling, one of the elders of our church. That's his wife, Carolyn. And on Monday, we were, Dick and Matt and a few guys, we were in our elders meeting, and we were just, man, it was almost like 45, an hour long of just praising God. We were celebrating the salvations and the work at Motivation. We're celebrating the decisions in Ethiopia. We're celebrating, I was telling about Jermaine and what was going on in Shady Hill. And man, it just broke out into this giant praise prayer fest in our elders meeting. And then we started sharing some words with each other. Started to share some words about this new season, that we were part of it. And Doug's 71 years old, and Doug starts weeping. And he tells us this story. He said, when I was 55, I had a stroke. I had to relearn how to talk. I had to relearn how to walk. I had to relearn how to eat. I was an elder of this church when I was 55. But after that stroke, and he said this with tears down his face, I was wondering, am I good for anything anymore? And he said, I felt like quitting. And I felt like I shouldn't be an elder anymore and I should just give up. And he said, I talked to my friends, and my friends would say, just pray, just continue on. And with, I mean, tears streaming down his face, Doug said, I am so thankful that I didn't give up, that I got to see this day. And this is what he said. And these last 15 years, I've been more fruitful for the kingdom of God than my first 50. Boom is right. Drop the mic, walk out. Done. Right? And I want you to hear it. The enemy's chief goal in your life, if you can't get away from the Father, then he's gonna try to steal from you the joy and the purpose of why you are home. And as that was being said, the Lord spoke to me, especially for all my seniors. We had a great time at lunch this last week. All my seniors, God said, hey, Sean, you tell my seniors, they're my most valuable bank account. Because for every year they've been alive, man, I've been investing grace and wisdom and experience and testimony and perseverance and faithfulness. They don't get less valuable as they get older. They get more valuable as they get older because I've invested more in them. They've got more to give, and there are absolutely 100% greater days ahead for you. Greater days ahead to be part of what God is doing. Some of you, you're watching online, and the sickness and the long-term illness, and you're feeling that way that Doug felt, and you need to know, don't you believe the lie of the enemy about who you are, about how valuable you are. One of our other elders, Bill Chase, he's watching online right now. Bill, we love you. Bill just celebrated 79 years old. And Bill, for a while now, just hasn't been able to get out, so he hasn't been to a service in a while. But I tell you what, you get on the phone with Bill, and you're going to get blessed pretty quick. He's going to share scripture with you. He's going to pray for you. He's going to speak something of the Holy Spirit over you. A few weeks ago, we were kind of talking. He sent me this amazing email just encouraging me. I said, Bill, would you be willing every week just to call up? Could I give you like 10 people in the congregation that could just use an encouraging word Would you be willing to like maybe send an email and let somebody know what God's saying? Would you be willing to call somebody and pray with them over the phone? And I'm telling you what, Bill is changing lives because he's home. And when he's home, he's always part of what home is doing. And you and I, we have to recognize that sometimes we feel lost. Sometimes we feel like the world's changing and trends are changing and the church is changing. I feel farther away. It's like, no. Man, you're the one Jesus is most excited about. You're the one who's got the investment we need. Some of us, even Sarah and I were talking, you know, we're starting to get in that little empty nest phase. I mean, just the beginning, obviously. We got a ways to go. But what does it mean when our kids don't need us as much? And you start feeling lost a little bit about, like, what do I do? Like, am I needed as much? And it's like, don't you believe the lie of the enemy who's going for that spot and trying to do something wrong? Don't you believe that spot? You are called to be part of the family. Because in the end, home is what we all need. Home is what we all need. Some of us, we need to come back to it today. We need to say, man, I've been missing this and I need to come back. And some of us need to say, I've forgotten what home is about. Man, I need to celebrate again. I need the Father to fill me again. Greater days are ahead. And I want you to hear this morning. I think this is really important. I think it's from the Lord. Until you come home to God in heaven, you're never going to be able to make a home here on earth. Not make it work. I want you to hear that this morning. That the way to fix this home is get this home straight. You know what conversation I have a lot? You know what conversation I have a lot? I have a lot of conversations with young parents who are saying, I'm trying to be the dad I never had. I'm trying to be the mom and create a home I never had. I hear that a lot. And the question is, Sean, how am I supposed to give what I've never received? And the thought is that if I didn't receive it on earth, then I can't give it. Well, that's why Jesus came. He came, and as we know him, as we know this Father, we can be this Father. And while we know this home, it will give us the ability to do this home right. And I want you to think about something and look at a perspective that you may have never looked at before. But some of the things people are doing, you're like, don't they know any better? Why aren't they doing any different? I want you to think about a perspective that says, until they know this home, they're never going to get this home right. And it's time for us to remember what it's all about. Now, I want to do something a little unorthodox for Cornerstone, right? But B.B. Winans has a song he put out a few years ago about coming home. And the focus of the song really is about kind of this home. But if you read his story about the description of why he wrote the song, it's based on Luke 15. It's based on the prodigal son. And as I was watching it, I just felt like the Lord said, Sean, all these examples of doing this life wrong and this home life wrong are because this home's not straightened out. And so it's a little different for us here at Cornerstone, but I'm going to play you the song. Because I just think some of us need to get this tune in our hearts today. I just think that song, that cry that says, that's what I've got to do. I just got to come home. And in that video, it's all pictures of home that's not working down here, but it's all about making this decision. Because if I'll take care of home up here, I'll begin to see how this changes. And I want you to recognize that the way we come home is all about what the Father gave us. I'm supposed to be on another slide, Randy. Can you jump there for me? There we go. It's not only what we all need, but it's what we can all give. And I just want you to think about what the Father gives the Son and what it says. And I want to encourage you, one, you've got to receive this in your own heart in a new and a fresh way. But then you've got to experience the joy of giving it to someone else. Because what does the Father do? The Father gives him his best robe, says puts a ring on his finger, puts shoes on his feet, and gives him the prize calf, right? It's robe, ring, Reeboks, and roast beef, right? It's all he gives him the best. But they all mean something. Because the way the younger son knows he's home is by what the Father gives him. And I want you to hear this right now. What does the scripture say? Okay, he says, this son is coming home and he is in rags. And he's got pig slop all over him. And the father says, right now, get the best robe and put it on. Well, who's got the best robe? The father. The father's got the best robe. It's his robe that gets put on the son. What does the scripture tell us in Romans 13? That we should put on Jesus Christ. That God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might be covered with the righteousness of God. The gospel, being home, is all about that there is one who has covered us, not with our own clothing, not with our own ability, it's with him. And the best robe the Father in heaven had, the very best he had, the Son, was given to cover you and me. The scripture says then he's given the ring, and most scholars would say that would be a family ring. That would be a ring to say, if you ran into him in the middle, the younger son back into the middle of the community, like, I heard you, da-da-da-da-da. He'd be like, no, I'm back home. Boom, ring. See? I'm back home. I'm accepted by the Father. Can I pay for this? I sure can. Am I representing the dad? I sure am. And what does the scripture say? The scripture tells us that it is God who makes both in us, you stand in firm Christ. He anointed us. What did he do? He set his seal. He gave us the ring of ownership on us. How? The Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit put upon us his signet ring, put upon his acceptance. How do we know we're his? How does the world know? It's because of what the Holy Spirit does through us. And then he put shoes on his feet. Well, shoes would be for property owners. They wouldn't be for slaves. Slaves didn't have any shoes, okay? Putting shoes on was a way to say to the whole world, this person's not a slave, this person's a son, this person's a daughter. And the scripture tells us that when we have the Spirit, that we are no longer slaves again to sin and fear, but we have the Spirit of sonship. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if we're in Christ, we're a new creation. And we need to walk that way. Some of us, we've forgotten that our salvation is not just about getting to go home, but we're going to start walking as someone who is home. And instead of thinking like a slave, thinking insecure, always comparing ourselves, always thinking my past is what defines me, we need to let the new work of Jesus Christ be what we walk in. And I love that he celebrates. You know, in the Middle East, you rarely got meat. I mean, you didn't eat meat every day, not in the Middle East. And so to not only get a goat every once in a while, but to get the fatted calf, and in Middle Eastern culture, the only time the fatted calf was when the whole community was going to celebrate, because you did not have that meal unless the whole community was coming. What is the Father saying? Saying, I want everybody to know how valuable my son is to me. I want them to know. And the scripture says that if God the Father did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how much more along with him will he give you all things that you need? You are valued in the kingdom. But you got to come home. You got to make a decision to get up. You got to make a choice to say, I'm coming home. You got to be okay with saying, I've sinned. I know I'm wrong. And maybe the mentality of you in church has been, maybe if I go to church, maybe the Father in heaven will help me. I don't think he'll ever love me, but maybe he'll help me. And you need to know that Jesus told his story, say, that is not how the Father in heaven feels. I want you to think about this parable. The Father divides up all he has. In the Middle Eastern culture, the older son would have gotten 2/3 of the estate, and the younger son, 1/3. God gave you part of his estate when he gave you breath to breathe. You're alive. He gave you his life. And you did like the younger son and said, I don't want to be with you, but I'm happy to take what you've given me. Go do whatever I want. Well, you need to know today that the Father wants to welcome you back home. I don't know how to say this other one except this. Some of us need to feel home again. I don't know how to say it any better. Come on, some of us older brothers out there, man, it's home. It's the place where, like, man, you're here. Good night. If the whole world stops just because we've lost our cell phone, how about imagining how the Father feels when he loses one of us? Like, we're not doing anything until we find this. That's the Father's heart for us. And we need to feel that again. We need to remember that again. We need to start living it out, and we definitely need to start giving it out. Because there's no greater joy than welcoming someone home. This is what you get today. You get your very own tote today. It's Totes for Jesus Day. Congratulations, you're here. Okay? And in it, you're going to get to give something to tell somebody else you're welcome home. It's going to have an invite for our series that we're about to do. We're about to do a series called This is Jesus, with an emphasis and a bold on the U.S. at the end. And it's the whole idea that the life Jesus lived is a life you can live. And get ready, because you think you know it, and you do not know it. Get ready. We're going to start that next week. That's going to be in there, some invites, some different things. And you should fill this up, and you should do like the Father did. What could I give somebody to let them know that they're welcome home? Man, I had this amazing conversation after First. It's one family who, as a brother that's in a very hard lifestyle, very entrenched lifestyle in New York City. And they were saying, Pastor Sean, while you were talking, I just kept thinking about him. My mom won't even talk to this person anymore. But I think we're going to put together a little care package and send it to him. And just say, hey, man, we just want to let you know we're thinking about you and we love you. I don't know if you got to send something through the mail, or you just want to get one of these and for a business, for a school, for a neighbor, for a family member. Give it and feel the greatest joy of all. Let somebody know they're welcome home and say, hey, man, you come with me next week. But all of us can do this. And sometimes we're looking at what we can't do in life, and we need to remember what we can do in life, the greatest thing of all. So I've asked Pastor Brandon if he would finish up with me. And I just think we need to have a fresh moment. This is not a teaching. This is an invitation to come home. And it's not something I came up with. It's something God's inviting you into. So I'm just going to ask you right now, would you bow your heart with me? And would you just, man, pay attention to what the Spirit of God is saying in you today? I'm going to ask you right now, would you just bow and close yourself off? So don't worry about other people. Because this is about the Father's looking for you today. Man, I can feel it like I felt it for Jermaine. Man, the Father's saying, I want that person to come home today. And you are absolutely in this room, and you might even be online today. And it is time to come home. I'm just going to invite you right now. If it's time to come home, you don't need any more theology. Man, you just need to say yes. Because you were made, you're looking for home. You're looking for it. And you've got hopes about what home one day can be on this earth. But I'm telling you what, until you get the home in heaven straight, earth's not going to work out. And when heaven works out, earth will work itself out, because you're going to have the grace and the love to make it work. So I'm just going to ask you right now, if you need to say yes to Jesus, say, I've taken his life and I'm walking away, but it's time to come on back. I'm just going to ask you right now, respond. Let the love of the Father surround you. Let him declare, my son, my daughter, they're home. If that's you, I'm just going to ask you to raise a hand where you are this morning. Come on, don't measure your steps today. Say yes. Say yes to what the Lord is saying to you.